Our first reading comes from 1 Peter, and John Price will read that portion of Scripture to us now.
Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thank you, John. Kate, I understand, is now willing to read from St. John's Gospel and part of chapter 20. Thank you, Kate.
Reading is from John 20, reading verses 19 to 31. And the first section is entitled, Jesus Appears to the Disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We've seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails on his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name.
Have you ever claimed to be in the Bible? Because you are. That reading has Jesus saying, Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. There you are. You actually in Scripture. How about that? We get so used to focusing on the resurrection appearances to the various disciples and followers and to all that Jesus said to them. We sometimes lose that. And I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus was actually reaching out down the centuries to us, to people all over the world, to all those who, down all the other centuries, have sought to serve and follow and be true to God. And we belong to that great company. And it's that's part of what we celebrate when we celebrate the resurrection, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That we belong to this enormous company of faithful people who down the years have sought to serve God in the ways that God requires. Thomas got the name for doubting just from that. There was a lot more to Thomas than doubting. One of the things I always remember when we think about Thomas is what we're told in one of the gospel stories, that when Jesus, and I use the old-fashioned phrase because it works for me, set his face to Jerusalem, when Jesus made that decision that he would go, when he knew the risks, he knew what it would cost, he would go to Jerusalem, and his followers all say, you're mad. That's not scripture, that's me. You're nuts. They've been trying to kill you. You know perfectly well what will happen if you go. And Thomas says, we'll go and die with him. That's a very profound statement of faith, of service, of love. We'll go and die with him. So what goes wrong for Thomas? I suggest to you that the we'll go and die with him comes from the sort of person who always believed the worst. If it's going to go wrong, it'll go wrong. The sort of person who looked at all the possible options and decided that the worst was the most likely. Some of us are like that. And some of us know others who are like that. And in this world, it's actually incredibly easy to be like that. Hang on a minute. Somebody's arriving late, and that's fine. Welcome. Come in and sit down. It's lovely to see you here. I'm just talking a little bit about Thomas and the resurrection stories and one or two other things. So we'll... In our world, it's very easy to believe the worst is going to happen, isn't it? I mean, considering what we've been going through lately... And I think my best word is insanity of some of our world leaders, because that's the most loving thing I can say. I could, yes, quite. It's very easy to look at the world and think the worst is going to happen, isn't it? And then that takes us, if we're not careful, into a place of either depression or hopelessness, or despair, or whatever it is that most grips you. You look around and you think, I give up, don't you, sometimes? And you feel so helpless and so unable to do anything, and sometimes that takes away our ability to pray, which is the one thing we can always do, and we forget that prayer changes things, and we forget that God raised Jesus from the dead and he is alive. We forget that we're resurrection people. And it's so important. And we can look at Thomas and recognize that when he actually saw, he didn't have to do all the things he said he was going to have to do. He didn't have to prove it to himself. He got a glimpse and he said, my Lord and my God. And we are invited to to have that heart glimpse, that mental glimpse, whatever it is that works for you. No, we won't see with these eyes. We know that. But we have, all of us, moments, every single one of us, just as we have the moments when life is rubbish. That's the polite word. Those of you who know me know that I would normally use another word. But yes, sometimes. But there are always those moments when life is good. One of the things I learned about prayer was at the end of the day to look back and name the good things, even on the most desperate day, the most miserable day, the most painful day, the most difficult day. Somewhere in that day there will have been something good, something to say thank you for, something to remind us of God's presence with us, something, it may only be one thing. Somewhere there will have been, on a cloudy day, there will have been a glimpse of sun. On a wet day, there will have been the reminder that things grow because of the rain. There is always something, even on the worst of our days, there is something to give thanks for. And we need that, don't we? So it's a question of where is the focus. When Thomas said, I don't believe you, go away, his focus was on the things that go wrong, the things that fail, the things that cause you trouble, the disappointments when life you hoped for just collapses. When he said, my Lord and my God, the focus was on the risen Lord and the presence of the risen Lord with us. And that's what we're invited to as resurrection people, to keep our focus on the risen Lord, to keep our focus on God, to keep our focus on the Jesus who loves us, to keep our focus where it needs to be, rather than getting caught up in the pain and misery and suffering of our world to such an extent that we don't see beyond it. Yes, we have to take all that seriously, and yes, we are called to pray always for those in so much need, but our focus needs to be on the risen Lord. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, in the version we read this time, he says, peace be with you. Actually, he probably said shalom, which is bigger than English can do. But in at least some of the appearances, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And you'll notice, as you read scripture, that the angels of God almost always say, don't be afraid. So if I can manage it, and with apologies to those of you who can sing properly, I want to offer you a song from God. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid, my love is stronger, and I have promised to be always near.